This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, everybody. Mike Snyder with you at Travel Talk, where we explore the world through the pages of Condé Nast Traveler magazine. And we'll be traveling through the April 2024 edition plus online articles. And let's start with this from Chile, Blazing a Trail. During a research and development trip with travel company Black Tomato, a new itinerary in remote Patagonia National Park comes together. And there are a couple of photographs with the story. And here's the story. Tack, 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 tack. Boy, that's an interesting way to start a story. It continues. I turn to my guide, Claudio, and ask if that drilling is coming from a jackhammer. He chuckles and tells our party of three that there's a tiny endemic woodpecker in a tree nearby. I'm not such a city slicker that I don't know how a bird from that I don't know a bird from a power tool, but the percussive picking is just so aggressive. Apparently, when you're somewhere truly remote and all vestiges of human existence disappear, nature can be loud. We're on an 8-mile hike around Lago Chico in southern Chile's Chacabuco Valley. It's part of Patagonia National Park, one of the country's newest national parks, part of a huge tract of land that American conservationists and rewilding philanthropist Chris and Doug Tompkins donated to the Chilean government to turn into protected parkland sustained by ecotourism. I've come to Chile with Tom Merchant, co-founder of the travel company Black Tomato, and five members of his team on a research and development trip to see if this sweep of Patagonia, home to vast grasslands, snow-capped peaks, and a resurgent puma population, can be turned into a Black Tomato itinerary. During a 13-mile hike past herds of grazing guanacos the next day, Merchant explains the process to me. The research phase is crucial, especially if you're scouting a place that is still off peace day for most travelers, he says, as we scan the horizon for a puma. A place may seem perfect from 3,000 miles away, but you have to go and experience it with an eye to your client. Maybe the infrastructure isn't there yet, or it's absolutely brutal to get from point A to point B. But Marchand felt confident that this trip would work for Black Tomato. For starters, his clients would be staying with Explora, a hospitality company that has 3 decades of experience in South America and has set the benchmark for adventure lodges and guiding on the continent. The fact that the park is shiny new was also a hook. There aren't tons of tour operators here yet. It's a blank canvas, and that's appealing, Marchand explained. While Explora, the only proper lodge in the park, already offers excellent programming, Black Tomato is looking for ways to layer in extras. This could mean, he notes, gesturing toward a pretty valley, that you get to this point in the hike and you look down and there's a tent set up where you'll stay the night and have an amazing stargazing experience. With a laugh, he adds, I'm always looking for ways to surprise and delight. The trip is also motivated by the less lofty but very important need to sell the itinerary to clients back home. Black Tomato's travel experts are along so that they can experience everything and authentically speak about the itinerary and understand how to tweak it for specific travelers. They're also there to give feedback on what is and isn't working, like the need for a few shorter hikes and more vegetation options at meals, or vegetarian, I should say, options at meals. Making original content is also often a part of Black Tomato's research trips and the team's videographers filming our daily activities. I want to show clients what a place looks like and get them excited before they've boarded the plane, Marchand tells me. And there's no shortage of content fodder. One morning, we kayaked down the Cochran River. On another, we tried to spot Patagonia's Big Five. We tick off puma, condor, guanaco, and the ostrich-like rhea. Only the guaymal, or South Andean deer, remains elusive. After 4 days, I say goodbye to the team, who is heading to the Atacama for part two of their Chilean research trip. On my flight home, I scroll through my photos on my phone, absorbing the images and trying to commit the accompanying feelings to memory. I keep coming back to the ones of that hike around Lago Chico that began with the aggressively loud woodpecker. Toward the very end, we'd headed up one last hill and arrived at a lookout point with a view of the lake framed by snowy peaks. There had been lunch waiting, hot soup and cold beers, simple and perfect. I was surprised and, yes, delighted by this unexpected picnic. We ate in easy silence, just taking it all in. And that story was written by Rebecca Meisner. And now we're going back across the Atlantic to Zimbabwe for the next story, Leader of the Pack, how the Safari Company African Bush Camps is taking guiding on the continent to a new level. And there are a couple of photographs here of scenes of lions and other wild animals out in the bush. And here's the story. On a wet January morning at Somalisa Camp in Zimbabwe's Hwange National Park, a tall, rangy paramedic named Elvis Tabengwa is instructing about three dozen bush guides on the finer points of first aid. "Come on," he shouts at them, so animated he's almost hovering above the floor. "Your guest is in cardiac arrest. What are you going to do?" The guides, dressed in every imaginable shade of khaki and olive, look at one another uncertain. "He's dying," Elvis screams. "Chest compressions. I need chest compressions." Several guides lurch forward to demonstrate on a dummy. Each January during the rainy season, African Bush Camps, ABC, perhaps the continent's premier black-owned safari company, closes all of its lodges in Zimbabwe, Zambia, and Botswana, and convenes its guides for a two-week retraining program, the most rigorous in the business. In addition to first aid, this gathering of the Zimbabwe guides will include refresher courses in shooting, tracking, stargazing, photography, and more. During my visit, in addition to Elvis's frantic pedagogy, I witnessed a workshop on the ABC values: authenticity, empowerment, conservation, collaboration, and care. A candid discussion among leadership about how to encourage more junior learner guides to take the steps to earn pro certification, and a team building exercise during which the guides are given 20 pieces of spaghetti, 10 band-aids, a piece of string, and a marshmallow, and charged with building a freestanding structure in under 20 minutes. It's really not so different from a Western corporate retreat, only instead of taking place in a suburban convention center, it's held in a delightfully classic, very remote tented camp in an acacia grove overlooking a waterhole with a resident hippo. And as Elvis demonstrates the proper application of a tourniquet, things are happening out there. The water buck bounds by, the white circle on its rump bouncing up and down like a toilet seat and got stuck. Bex Ndlovu, the 47-year-old entrepreneur and former guide who founded ABC 18 years ago, summons me over to point out two lionesses prowling, the ridgeline above an ancient dry riverbank. Suddenly, a pack of wild dogs flashes by in hot pursuit of an impala. "You never know what's going to happen," Bex says, as we run off to commandeer a Land Cruiser. We can't find the dogs, only kudu and yellow-billed hornbills, but we do bump into Calvert Nkomo, a veteran guide who has worked at Somalisa since 2013 and is said to know more than anyone about the life histories of the lions in the area. He informs us that the lionesses have made their way into the neighboring acacia camp. We exit the Land Cruiser and approach them by foot, watching from behind a fallen log as they loll about, take a few steps, then collapse to the ground again, too stuffed from a recent meal to move. It sure beats a morning coffee break in a drab lobby amid acres of wall-to-wall carpeting. Bex, a native Zimbabwean, has known this swath of Hwange National Park for more than two decades, since he was guiding for the nearby Makolo camp, and used to sneak guests into the area. After 2 years of lobbying the Zimbabwean government, he secured the tender and opened Somalisa in 2006, with an emphasis on premium guiding. A few nights earlier, I'd heard Bex tell its origin story to a group of guests at Kwai Ladiba, one of ABC's newest camps, on the edge of the Okavango Delta. "You know that thing they say," he asked, "if you build it, they will come?" It isn't true, but the success of his second camp, Linyanti in Botswana, helped subsidize Somalisa, and today it is the flagship property of a company that employs around 650 people, including the 60 guides Bex refers to as the company's superpower. "We can have the best hideaway, the best design, the shiniest copper bars," he tells them one morning, "but without you guys and your storytelling, we have nothing." Many of the guides tell me that these training programs, along with the ability to rotate among the ABC properties and learn new skills, are what brought them to ABC. "You work at various camps and you always hear about a certain company," says Michael Tisoka, who came to Somalisa 2 years ago. "This was always where I wanted to work." Paul Hobbs, an archaeologist who'd come to give a talk on the colorful history of Hwange National Park, says that ABC increasingly serves as an incubator for guides who go on to work for other outfitters. "Very few companies in this country understand how important retraining is," he says, "and ABC has set the bar very high." In 2021, the company adopted a new mandate to cultivate women guides in an industry that has long been resistant to them through its foundation's new ABCF, Female Guides Program. Its goal is for a minimum of 25% of its guides to be women by 2030. "During a subsequent stop on my trip at Thorntree River Lodge near Victoria Falls in Zambia, I would meet one of ABCF's first students, Zita Hwambe. Many African men believe that a woman's role is in the kitchen," she says, "but they're warming up to us because they know we're here to stay. Before I head to Thorntree, however, I go on a last sundowner with the Zimbabwe guides at Somalisa. From a hide, I watch, G&T in hand, as a pair of hyenas scamper past a waterhole. It's probably the best happy hour I've ever been to. On our way back to camp, I tell Calvert about seeing the lioness. He says that they were born to one of the daughters of Cecil, the famous lion who was shot by a trophy hunter just outside of Hwange in 2015, prompting an international outcry. After I process that, I remark how lucky I felt to be there with people who know so much about this beautiful land and its difficult history. Yes, you are," he says, with the most serious expression he can muster. Then his face lights up in an enormous smile. "Yes, you are." And that story by Jesse Ashlock.
And let's check in on this online story. And it's my favorite Airbnb, a three-bedroom apartment in Sydney's ultimate surf burb. The beachside abode had a wraparound balcony and incredible ocean views. And the story's by Zoe Westman. And I've been fortunate enough, the article starts, to visit Australia 9 times. I'm a native New Yorker, married to an Aussie, and our travels to his homeland over the years have been some of the most memorable of my life, sailing and snorkeling in the Whitsundays, backpacking in the Daintree rainforest, seeing fairy penguins storm the shore at midnight on Bruny Island, Tasmania. But before any of these adventures begin, we always spend a week in the first destination we touch down in after getting off the plane, Sydney. This year in January, we finally returned after 3 years of travel restrictions in celebration of my mum-in-law's 80th, who lives in the city. Sydney kinda has it all. The best city, the best beaches, the best coffee, the best avocado toast, the quirkiest population of exotic birds, and the embodiment of the Aussie lifestyle. But if you need to get away from it all while still having it all, you can drive 45 minutes to the city's ultimate surf suburb, Dee Why, and that's spelled D-E-E, second word, W-H-Y. This is where we decided to make our home base during a trip. A proper multi-night stay was a no-brainer, and with no hotels in the area, we booked an Airbnb. No visit to Sydney is complete without stopping in Dee Why. This was far from our first visit. Whenever we're in town, a day trip is always on the agenda. This magic little beach town just north of Manly has a chill vibe that can't be beat. Every time we return, I say to myself, man, oh man, do I want to live there. Set a block back from the main street, the yellow brick building was flanked by tropical foliage and delivered the classic surfy vibes I'd been dreaming of. It was easy to find and perfectly situated in the center of the action, with shops and restaurants to the right, dunes to the left, and the ocean in all directions as far as the eye could see. The third floor unit that greeted us, walk up, no elevator, was airy, cool, and had a touch of mid-century style. Three bedrooms, one with an ensuite bathroom and a second full bathroom shot off from the hallway, which led to the loft-like living area. It all was encircled by a wraparound balcony with ocean views. The sparkling kitchen was fully stocked with an espresso maker, cookware, a water filtration station, and a brand new appliances, including a state-of-the-art washing machine and dryer, the ultimate luxury in this apartment dweller's opinion. A bounty of delicious food greeted us upon arrival. In the kitchen, a fresh loaf of bread, a handful of avocados, a bowl of tropical fruit, chocolate, popcorn, and eggs were all beautifully arranged beside some wonderfully fragrant frangipani stalks in bloom. The town's main drag, the Strand, was just out front and had changed quite a bit since my last visit in the best possible way. Where dining options were once limited, burgers and fries, or in my case as a vegetarian, just fries, there was a bevy of possibilities. Aussie coffee at the Italian-influenced Bambolina Dolce and Cafe in the morning, and a smattering of Thai, Italian, Vietnamese, Mexican, and Japanese choices for lunch and dinner. The stretch of sand out front remained the same, thankfully. Long and golden, with guarded swimming areas and reliable surf, on the southern end sat the glorious Dee Why Rock Pool, built into the sea with the occasional wave crashing over the edge. Sunbathers filled the stadium-style stairs at the edge and spread out on the smooth sandstone rocks. Just beyond sat the entrance to the Dee Why to Curl Curl Coastal Walk, a stunning path through the cliff-top bush with amazing views of the coastline. We walked north up the beach to the boardwalk leading to Long Reef, a wild and beautiful peninsula with fascinating rock pools to explore at low tide. It was wonderful making new memories in a place where I have so many years of treasured ones. I can't wait until our next visit. See you soon, Dee Why. The next is a fascinating story that's titled, This European Country Gives Retirees Discounted Vacations. Spain is the first country in the EU to offer subsidized trips to retirees through a program that promotes active aging, quote-unquote, and the story by Jessica Puckett. And here we go. When it comes to retirement, many people envision spending their golden years traveling the world. Those aspirations, however, involve a lot of money, effort, and planning to execute. But did you know there's a country that will actually take care of the majority of travel costs and logistics for its retirees to vacation? Spain, a country that consistently ranks among the best places in the world to retire, is the first country in the EU to give certain senior citizens and residents access to greatly subsidized getaways with expenses like transportation, meals, and hotels included. The program is run by Spain's Institute for Seniors and Social Services, the IMSERSO, or IMSERSO, I assume is the pronunciation, which calls the concept social tourism. The gist is that investing in travel for seniors will help improve their health and keep them active and engaged. The IMSERSO tourism program contributes to active aging and the promotion of an active lifestyle while favoring intergenerational solidarity, generating employment and economic activity, and favoring interterritorial solidarity through travel between different regions, an IMSERSO spokesperson told Euronews in February. The discounted trips are available each year in the shoulder season from October through June. For the 2023-24 season, the Spanish government made 886,269 places available for retirees in the social tourism program. That's 70,000 more spots than the previous year. Prices for these vacation packages range anywhere from 124 euros to 435 euros, depending on the destination, length of the trip, and whether transportation is included. Here's everything you need to know about the program, including how American expats can apply. What type of travel is subsidized? The types of trips range from 4-day city break, 5-day nature tourism trips that focus on exploring the natural areas of a particular region, or 6-day culture circuits that explore several towns in a particular region. There are also longer vacations of 8 to 10 days in several regions along Spain's coast or in its islands in the Atlantic Ocean or Balearic Sea. What destinations are included? Destinations covered by the program include towns and cities throughout popular regions of Spain, including Andalusia, Catalonia, and Valencia. Pay a visit to Granada, the capital of flamenco dancing. Relax in the quiet beach town of Castellón, or soak up the culture and energy of Barcelona. Among the nature-focused itineraries are jaunts through numerous striking areas like Asturias, an autonomous region on Spain's northwest coast, known for its breathtaking land formations, including dramatic seaside cliffs and jagged mountains rising out of green hillsides, or choose to visit Aragon, a region that sits in the Pyrenees Mountains and is home to Ordesa and Monte Perdido National Park, recognized as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. For the longer trips, vacation hubs like the Canary Islands, Balearic Islands, home to iconic, sunny destinations like Ibiza and Mallorca are also on the table. What costs are covered? The program generally covers accommodations and meals as well as insurance plans and sightseeing costs. However, some of the inclusions vary based on the trip package. For many of the packages, travelers can choose whether they'd like to include transportation to and from their destination. Who is eligible? According to a release from Spain's Ministry of Social Rights and Agenda 2030, to participate in the program, you must be a legal resident of Spain. For expat retirees, the most common way to receive Spanish residency status is to apply for a non-working residence visa through the country's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, or to make a real estate investment of at least 500,000 euros which qualifies you for a golden visa. In addition to being a legal resident, you must be at least one of the following: a retiree who receives a pension from the Spanish Social Security system, a person 55 years of age or older who receives a widow's pension from the Spanish Social Security, a person 60 years of age or older who receives unemployment benefits or other subsidies from the Spanish Social Security system, a person 65 years of age or older who is insured or a beneficiary of the Spanish Social Security system. The site also stipulates that Spaniards who are residing abroad may also be eligible as long as they meet the above requirements or are pensioners of the public Social Security systems of the country or countries to which they have emigrated. When evaluating who is accepted into the program, officials consider other factors like age, disability status, financial situation, and whether they've participated in a discounted trip before. Those who are older, lower income, or haven't traveled on a social tourism trip are given priority. Additionally, eligible retirees that are granted the discounted trips can bring along a spouse or partner or a disabled child, even if they don't meet the eligibility requirements. How do you apply? First-time applicants or new retirees can submit an electronic application on IMCIRCO's site. They can also print the application and mail it. Retirees who have participated in the program receive a letter in the mail with all the information they need to request a new trip. Once accepted into the program, participants can request their ideal discounted trips using their program ID card on the program's official travel site, turismosocial.com, when the booking window opens in October. Then it's just a few short clicks to scoring a subsidized vacation and enjoying your golden years to the fullest. Well, that's pretty a fascinating program. Unfortunately, I'm not a Spanish citizen. And I think we'll end with a destination a little closer to home, the Biltmore, a stay at the Biltmore Hotel in Asheville, North Carolina. Spring is the perfect time for a getaway to Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina, to experience the grace and grandeur of America's largest home. In addition to Biltmore House, it's the ideal season to explore the pristine gardens and grounds located throughout the property, each bursting in a kaleidoscope of color. But that's only part of what makes a getaway here so memorable. Overnight guests at Biltmore enjoy the unforgettable experience of waking up to the stunning natural beauty of Biltmore Estate. Nestled amid 8,000 acres of Blue Ridge Mountain beauty, there's something for everyone at Biltmore, from hiking and biking trails to guided raft trips, river birding tours, fly casting lessons, horseback riding, falconry, fishing, and more. For those more interested in quiet pursuits, there are classes, wine tastings, afternoon tea, naturalist talks, and intimate guided tours of Biltmore House. Biltmore offers so many reasons to stay and linger. Guests can choose from three distinctive overnight options. The Village Hotel is conveniently located near the shops and restaurants of Antler Hill Village, as well as the Outdoor Adventure Center, Pisgah Playground, and Farmyard. After an evening of handcrafted wine and exceptional cuisine, your room is just a short stroll away. For luxurious accommodation options, the Inn on Biltmore Estate has been rated a Forbes four-star hotel for more than 20 consecutive years. Finally, for a more intimate experience, book a stay in one of the historic cottages on Biltmore Estates. Each cottage is a private sanctuary that includes the finest amenities and personalized concierge services. With so much to see and do, Biltmore Estates is the perfect destination for an unforgettable springtime getaway. And on that note, brings us to the end of another Travel Talk. Good being with you this time, and looking forward to being with you next time. Mike Schneider saying bon voyage for now.